So, I guess this is our first home front of the summer officially, right? Is that right? I'm actually pleasantly surprised there's this many folks here, because usually in the summertime things drop off significantly, but except for our one phantom Sterling table here that's got nobody. So this is for all of our, it's the Sterling table here in spirit. This is for all the late arrivals. We'll make them sit at this table. That'll be... No, I wasn't talking about you. Okay, before we jump in, why don't we have a word of prayer? Father, thank you so much for this just glorious morning that we're able to gather here together in your name to fellowship with one another. Lord, a fellowship that we have because of the fellowship we have with you in Christ. So God, we ask now as we talk, as we share from your word, that you would be honored. That your wisdom would pour forth here, and that your Spirit would guide our conversations, Father. That you would be glorified in everything that's said and done here this morning, and that the marriages here would be edified and built up because of it. And we ask this in Christ's name, Amen. All right, so we have a new. Look at that! It works. We have a new clicker. Isn't that exciting? It's the most exciting thing this morning. I'm going to have, I should just put these out on the tables, but then I wouldn't get to ask people to hand them out. So, got some little handouts here. I'll start with you guys over here. There you are, sir. Thank you very much. All right, so our next lesson for marriage is all about overlooking an offense. My alternate title to this was, How to Stop Irritating Your Spouse. Or how to stop your spouse from irritating you, one or the other. Patricia would not let me go with the alternate title. Probably wise. And I'm absolutely sure that Patricia and I are the only couple here that discovered after marriage that there are things about one another that might grate on us a little bit, right? Yeah, it's just us. Okay, so this message is basically for us because the rest of you don't have that problem. Or worse, attitudes or behaviors that weren't there but then developed after marriage. I'm sure none of you have had any of those either. And I'm sure none of you ever thought, like when you were getting married, like, well, you know, he's got this issue or that issue, or she's got this issue or that issue. But man, once we get married, I'll have time, you know, me and the Lord together, we'll work on him, we'll change him, we'll whip him into shape, right? None of you ever said that either, right? So it's just us. So honey, this message is for you and me this morning. There's a couple of verses that I grabbed here that this one is the obvious one. A person's wisdom makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense, from Proverbs 19:11. And the other passage that it's come just a little bit before that, Proverbs 17:14, the beginning of strife is like letting out water, so abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. And I think these are good, they kind of go well together, these two. Because this one kind of tells you what the outcome will be if you let every offense become an offense that you need to address all the time, and where that goes. So it's like the letting out of water. And if you sort of imagine, a dam. If you've ever seen a dam rupture, it starts off with a little trickle, but once that little trickle, it just starts to erode around the hole, and the next thing you know, there's catastrophic blowout of the dam. And so little things, little offenses, little irritants, if we feel like we have to address, and all of them become a battle that we have to fight, the outcome of that many times is going to be this big blowout, something that started off very, very little, you know, something like, you know, you don't cut the tomatoes right. And I don't cut tomatoes right. Not that that's ever been an issue with us, but seriously, these things can, little tiny things can then turn into bigger things. So we can know where we know where these quarrels can lead if we allow them to. But what are the benefits? What are the joys in overlooking an offense? And that's what I want to look at here first. And when I say an offense, some of these things, and we'll talk about this a little bit, how do you identify something that's really an offense, or is it just irritating? And where does an irritant become an offense? And, you know, is that a possibility for something that's just an irritating habit of our spouse that actually has now become offensive? And how do you differentiate between those things? Okay. So I think that's an important point. But let's look first at what are the joys. You know, our verse for the year, at the beginning of the year, we like to pick out a verse for the year. That's something that we just keep up on a board in our kitchen. And ours is Psalm 16:11. You've made known to me the path of life. In your presence there's fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And when I've meditated on that verse, and we've had, you know, 6 months now to meditate on that verse, one of the things that I think about is just the joy and the pleasure that there is in obeying God's word, in stepping out in faith and actually doing what the word says. Like we talked about last week from James, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. And the joy and the pleasure that comes from doing that. And so that's what I want to get into here, is that there are benefits, there are joys to be had from overlooking an offense. So we're going to go through a few of them here, and you got them on your handout. But the first one, and they're all about growing. The first one is growing in Christ-like forgiveness. Right, if you look at Ephesians 4:32, it says, "Be kind and tender-hearted to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Just as in Christ God forgave you. Be tender-hearted to one another, forgiving each other. Colossians 3:13 says something similar. "Bear with each other and forgive any complaint you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." So as we step out in faith and we overlook offenses in our spouse, what we're really doing is we're imitating our Savior. And in imitating our Savior, you know, the Word teaches us to be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, right? And so as we imitate His forgiveness, He uses that to continue that work of transforming us. So every step of faith that we take in obedience, God uses to continue to transform our character, our attitudes, our actions, the way that we think. Right? If you remember Jesus on the cross, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." I don't think anything that our spouse does to us rises to the level of that level of forgiveness. So this is a way for us to practice Christ-likeness. So that's the first one, growing in Christ-like forgiveness. The second one is growing in Christ-like love. You know, 1 Peter 4:8, "Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of what? Of sins." Growing in Christ-like love by overlooking an offense is one of the joys, one of the benefits that we have of obedience to God's word, right? 1 Corinthians 13, the famous love passage, a couple of things it talks about in there. Love is not provoked. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Love bears all things. Those three in particular speak a lot to this idea of overlooking an offense. So as we overlook offenses, we're able to, God uses that experience to grow us in Christ-like love, which is a sacrificial, self-giving love. And then the last one is growing in Christ-like dependence on God. Psalm 62:1-2 happens to be the theme verse for kids camp this week. "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." Notice the words "alone." He alone is my rock. He alone is my fortress. He alone is my salvation. And unfortunately, a lot of times in our marriages, we begin to look at each other for that. We begin to look at each other for our security, for our strength, when God says, no, you're never to look at another human being for those things. You're supposed to look to me. He alone is your rock and your salvation. And so when we overlook an offense, right, because what happens when there's an offense against us is this person, if we're looking at them as our rock, as our salvation, as our fortress, what we're doing is we're replacing God with a person. And now when they disappoint us because they've offended us, then we are shaken. And what we need to be reminded of is that, you know what, humans, whether it's our spouse or anybody else, are going to fail us, are going to offend us, are going to irritate us, because that's just what we do to each other. And we're not to look to one another for that kind of security. We're to look to the Father and to the Father alone. So when we overlook an offense, what we're doing really is we're being able to practice our freedom from being, from connecting our joy and our peace to a person other than God. Right? And we need to cultivate that kind of freedom from the actions of other people. And I know this with my kids, you know, those of you that have older kids, when your kids come home and they've done something or they've done something in relation to their siblings that you didn't like and you have to correct them, and when you go to correct them, the first thing they say is, well, you know, she did this, that's why I did this, right? I punched him because he said something mean to me. And when I talk to my kids about that, I always tell them, like, okay, so you basically have given up control of you to the actions of another person. You're allowing them to dictate your behavior. Is that what you're saying? So you've given up all your power to them. And there's just usually silence after that. And I think it kind of crosses over into our marriages as well. Are we allowing, if we don't have that freedom, right, that we're free from allowing another person's actions to dictate our own attitudes and behavior, right? And we're free because we're looking to God and God alone to be that for us. When we don't do that, when we behave that way, when we react, basically what we're doing is we're affirming that we're not free from that. Okay, so one of the joys of overlooking an offense is that we grow in that freedom. Every step we take, every time we do it, we grow in that freedom and our dependence on God. So, is that easy? Sounds really easy. So there's some joys in overlooking an offense. You're going to grow in Christ-like forgiveness, love, and Christ-like dependence on God. And that should be really easy then. So we should all just go out and overlook our offenses. Right? Yeah, not so much. Not so much. There are growing pains. All of these things are about growing, which is what we're doing here. Once we've come to faith in Christ as disciples, a disciple is anyone who is a follower of Jesus, growing in their love, knowledge, and joyful service of God and others, right? That's what a disciple is. And so we're all to be growing, and when we grow, there are growing pains, right? But if you belong to God in Christ, you need to trust that even in those difficult situations, even when your spouse is irritating you or has offended you, it's risen above just an irritation, has offended you, that God actually has a purpose in that. That God is using those moments to chip away at your old man, at your old person, and to reform you into the image of Christ. Everything that God allows to come into your life, if you believe that, because it's what the Word teaches us, that everything that God allows to bring into your life, He's using to mold you into the image of His Son. So even in those difficult, even when we're struggling with a spouse maybe that's very difficult, or a situation in our marriage that's very difficult, we can trust, we can take heart that God is using that to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in us. Right? And if you go back to the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, right? Those things are being cultivated in us. I know you've probably heard those old, I prayed for patience, and God sent someone to test my patience. Right? That's a true thing. As God allows difficult situations to come into your life, He's using those to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in you, if you'll take those small steps of faith toward Him. So those are the joys. How then? When and how do we overlook an offense? Or when is it appropriate to overlook an offense? So the first thing I would say is examine yourself. We talked about this a few weeks ago, about examining ourselves, Christ-centered introspection. And asking yourself, is the log in my eye? You think about that. Am I projecting whatever this offense is? Am I actually projecting this on my spouse and it's me that's the problem? So the first thing is, examine yourself. Ask yourself the hard questions. Is there sin in my life? Why is this particular favor, this particular behavior bothering me? Why has this offended me? Why has this irritated me? So that's the first thing, is just to examine yourself. The second thing is to ask yourself the question, is this truly an offense or is it just an irritant? Is this a moral issue or is it something else? Is this my spouse being disrespectful or angry towards me? Or is it, you know, they just won't pick their socks up off the floor or get their dirty clothes into the hamper or cut the tomatoes the right way or anything like that? Sure, there's a longer list, right? So ask yourself that question because it is an important question to ask. Irritants, we should be able to overlook more quickly. So ask yourself that question. Is that an offense truly or is it just an irritant? This next one is to ask yourself the question, how important is this really? Right? We talk about, you know, you can't fight when we do parenting. We say pick your battles carefully. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of battles that you could have, but which are the ones that are really important? How important is this one irritant or this one offense, this one attitude, this one behavior of my spouse? Is this a hill I really want to die on, right? The wise general is the one that fights the fewest battles to achieve victory, right? Not every battle. It turns out that very few hills are worth dying on, actually. So be careful when you consider those. The fourth thing is to ask yourself, is this a pattern or is it an isolated occurrence? And it's an important question because if your spouse has, for instance, a pattern of anger or a pattern of, you know, being disrespectful or, let's say, demeaning you in public in front of people, right? And that's something that happens over time. That's a serious offense. That's a serious behavioral, attitudinal problem that definitely needs to be addressed and can't just be overlooked and overlooked and overlooked. But let's say that your spouse snaps at you one day in the car, and is angry. Do you get offended by that? Or would it be more wise in that situation to overlook the offense and try to look beyond it, to look over the offense at what might be behind the offense, and to ask your spouse, are you okay? Did something happen? This is not, you know, that's not normal for you. So what's going on? Are you all right? And begin to dig into those things. So ask yourself, is it a pattern or is it an isolated occurrence? And then the other question is, have you asked them to change? This is really important when you talk about irritants. You know, have you asked them, hey, you know, I got these really nice baskets for the dirty clothes. You're getting close. You know, you're around the basket, but you're not actually in the basket. You know, could you try to do that? Or, then this is the really small thing, but you know how small things can become big things. Toothbrushes. Where do you put your toothbrush? Right? So, I know. But it makes a mess. If you put your toothbrush face down on the sink every week, then it just starts to look nasty there. And so, that drove me nuts. I did not like that. So, I have one person that agrees with me. So I went out, well, I didn't buy it. Patricia, very kindly, because she could tell this was really bothering me, that there wasn't a place to put. So I actually got cups from the kitchen a couple times, and she didn't like that because it wasn't, you know, it didn't look pretty. And I would put my toothbrush in the cup. So she went out and bought this really nice toothbrush cup and a little set, and she put it on my side of the sink. We don't have a double sink. We just got the one. But my side is the right side. And so she put it on my side. And so I very happily put my toothbrush in there, but every time I would come to the sink, my toothbrush was in its cup. Her toothbrush was still laying face down on the left side of the sink. So I would pick it up and I would put it over here. And then I would come back at night and there it is again. I would pick it up and put it over here. I said, hey, we have a cup for a reason. Why aren't you putting your toothbrush in the cup? She's like, I don't know. Well, she's left-handed, so am I. But because all my stuff is on the right-hand side, I just reach over myself to put the cup in. Well, for whatever reason, that was enough of a deterrent. You can't reach over your body, so I took the cup. My next step was to take the cup and move just the cup to the left-hand side. So now we're all good, and for the most part, she's getting the toothbrush in the cup. We're very excited about it. So this is a big victory for me. That's a funny thing, but seriously, have you talked, right? Have you talked to each other, or have you let that little irritating thing become this monster that, and you don't ever talk about it, but you just get mad about it? And maybe you talk to your friends about it, but you don't talk to your spouse about it. You know, have you gently asked? And this can go for larger things too. Like, as you know, if your spouse has this tendency, maybe it's their sense of humor. Maybe their sense of humor when they're in public and they're in a social situation, maybe your spouse, out of nervousness or whatever, uses their sense of humor to calm themselves, and you end up being the butt of most of the jokes, right? Have you addressed that? You said, you know what? I know what you're doing, and I know that it's making you, but it seems like I'm always the one you're making fun of, and that doesn't make me feel very good, right? Have you done that? Have you taken that step? Because if you haven't, you know, you can't keep throwing all the blame on your spouse, because they just might be clueless, right? Like most of us guys tend to be, that actually has been offending you. For me, it was sarcasm. Sarcasm is my go-to. I love sarcasm. It's my go-to sense of humor. But my sarcasm really hurt Patricia. It made her feel like I was demeaning her, that I was belittling her. Wasn't what I meant by it at all. But until she addressed it with me, and I was able to say, okay, I can make some changes there. I'm not perfect. It comes out. It rears its ugly head from time to time. But have you gently asked for change? So those five things, those are the questions I think we all need to ask ourselves. And why is it important to ask the questions rather than just reacting? Because when we stop, just think about this. The second that we stop and we say, okay, let me think about this for a second and walk through even just those five questions, we're going to bring our own temperature down. We're going to much less likely to react to our spouse and more likely to respond, right? Reacting is just coming out of whatever's in your flesh, just popping out. Responding is, I've thought about this, I've prayed about this, I've gone through these questions, and now I can move forward and make a decision. Is this something that I can just overlook? Am I just going to say, for example, with the toothbrush, hey, you know what? My job in life is to pick the toothbrush up and put it over here, and I don't care if she never puts a toothbrush in the cup. I'll do it for her. It's no big deal, right? That would be an okay solution to that. But as you're getting ready to decide, is this an offense that I can overlook? Make sure you stop, slow things down, ask yourselves the questions. Now, the offender, and that's all of us, right? Depending on, you know, that the offender's shoe is one, you know, something we both wear from time to time. So we're all going to be the offender in some case or another. So I have some thoughts for the offender. The first one is this: if this behavior or attitude irritates or offends your spouse, and you can change, why not change? Or at least try, right? If I know, this, and again, this is a little thing, but I now cut tomatoes the way that she cuts tomatoes, because I don't really care. It's okay. The tomatoes are cut. And if it's going to make her happy that they're cut a certain way, I can cut them a certain way. I'm not going to die on that hill over a tomato. It just doesn't make any sense. My sarcasm, yeah, that was my sense of humor. If it hurts her, do I love my sarcasm more than I love my spouse? That's an easy question to answer. And if you put it in those terms, any of our behaviors, any of our attitudes, any of our habits that tend to offend or irritate or our spouse, if you ask yourself, do I love my behavior, my attitude more than I love my spouse, the answer should always come back as no. So if you can change, why not change? The other thing is to ask your spouse from time to time, right? Just like David asked the Lord, Lord, is there any offensive way in me? To go to your spouse with that question and be like, is there anything about my behavior, about my attitudes that offends you, that maybe you've been overlooking graciously for a time? I would like to know what those are, because I'd like to make some changes. I'd like to know what those are. And then get in the habit of asking each other questions like that, right? Questions like, honey, how can I help you? You know, questions like, You know, how are we doing? How am I doing as a husband? How am I doing as a wife? How are we doing as a couple? Are we irritating each other? Are we living in peace with one another and understanding with one another? Get in the habit of just on a date night, not every date night, but on some date night, just asking those questions. Doesn't even have to be a date night. It can just be on a drive in the car. But those kinds of questions are going to, if they're asked with frequency, and if you don't react to maybe a negative response, if there is something that you've been doing that's been offending, and you know, be ready when you ask the question to receive that without reacting in anger or defensiveness, and just take it and try to understand it. Those kinds of things over time will cultivate in your relationship the ability to have open communication and easy resolution to things like that. And then the last one is this, and I've heard so many people say this, I've said it, you know, that's just how I am. Oh, that's just me. Like, oh yeah, I grew up and, you know, I needed sarcasm to defend myself against my two sisters, and because I couldn't hit them, this is true, by the way, I wasn't allowed to take physical action against them. My best friend, I could punch him, but obviously your sisters, you can't do that, or else I would have the wrath of dad upon me. So I developed other things to fight back, and one of the things I developed to fight back was sarcasm. I could cut them down with my words, and I didn't have to use my hands. Now, I could say, because that, then I'm excused from being a sarcastic jerk in our marriage relationship because of that. Okay, forget that, right? Because what you're really doing, think about this. When we say that, what we're saying is, God is a liar, and he's got no power, and his word's got no power, his spirit's got no power. That's what we're saying. Because God's word says that he who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion. God's word says that he is transforming us in ever-increasing glory into the image, that image, and that image is his son. Right? God's word says that it's powerful and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And when we say, that's just how I am, that is a huge insult. It's a huge disrespect to the Lord. So let's just forget that, okay? Take that whole sentence out of our repertoire and just say, you know what? I can't change me, but God can change me. And if this is an offensive way in me, God can change it. We just need to bring it into the light. So, we're going to have a good time for conversation. This is good. I want to read a passage to you guys just as an encouragement here. 2 Peter 1:5-8, and it's along those lines. Right, of ditching that phrase, this is just how I am. Peter says this, now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, I love how those two things go, applying all diligence, so there's something that we need to be diligent in our faith, right? It's because we're recognizing that it's God who is at work in us. Supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is able to transform and change, and he is doing that work in all of us. Amen? All right, I have, before we go to our questions, I'm going to ask Tom Abrahamian to come up here and make an announcement, and then I've got just a follow-up reminder, and then we'll go to questions. That way we can talk uninterrupted until it's time to move on out of here. So, is that on? It's on.
It's on.
Oh, you just turned it off again. Hit it one more time. There you go.
Thanks. All right, well, good morning. Thanks for giving me a chance to come up here, Mike. You may have seen, I'll just put it down, I'm going to pick it up again. You may have seen these little cards from time to time. We have a family life mentor ministry here at RVC that Mike and Patricia and my wife Jenny and I kind of spearhead. And it's been about a year and a half, and it's going. We're really enjoying it. We're getting to know a lot of different couples in various stages, but we wanted to just share a little bit about it. So it's a mentor ministry. So we have what we think of as sort of younger couples or couples in a certain stage of marriage, and then we have older couples who are maybe in a little further advanced stage of marriage, and we try to pair them up. And there's always lots of, you know, things that we can learn from couples who have been through things that maybe we haven't. And I know that Jenny and I sure could have used some of that along the way, and so we're happy to give back to some of that to some other couples that we work with. But we are always looking for couples to serve as mentors and also get to know each other. So this summer, we're going to have a barbecue. It's on August 11th, as you can see up there. It'll be at our house. We live in kind of the riverbank area, just a little bit from here. So August 11th for all the mentors and also anybody who may be interested in becoming a mentor. We want to invite anyone. You can check the page on the website. Anyone who may be interested in joining this ministry, it's a lot of fun, and we really want to get to know everyone. And so you're all certainly more than welcome to come and have some barbecue food and check it out. No commitments, but we would certainly love to have you join us. So I wanted to bring that up today. All right. Thanks, everybody.
And just as a tag on to that, just as a reminder. It's the summertime, and occasionally I'll just let you guys know, you know, it is okay and encouraged to actually connect with each other outside of this room. What? I know. It's a novel idea. But we definitely want to encourage you guys, either in your regions or even just across Homefront, to find ways to connect with each other. So I'll say this. So consider yourselves encouraged. And if you need any help in that area, like, oh, I would love to get all of the emails of people in Sterling, or I'd love to get all the emails of everybody, you know, I'd love to be able to send a message out to everybody about, you know, a barbecue I'm going to have, or whatever it happens to be. We're going to go on a hike, and, you know, we'd love to get a bunch of people from Homefront to go hiking, or anyway, plug in your idea there. Contact Diane for that information, just DianeSheldon@RustinBible.org, or you can walk right up to her. She's right over there. So if you need emails, or if you have an idea and you want to just kind of broadcast it to the whole group, and you want it to be in the Homefront email news thing that goes out every week, or if you want to make an announcement from up front, same thing. Let Diane know, and she'll make it happen. Okay, so make sure we're connecting with each other this summer. So now